We are in our focus series, and today we're going to hit two different chapters. If you want to put a marker in Romans chapter 12, and then turn your Bibles to Acts chapter 6. With this being Super Bowl Sunday, my title of my message today is, Get in the Game. Get in the game. Don't just be watching the game. It's time for us to get in the game. And I realize many of us are already involved in the game. We're, again, the thought that the Lord so impressed on my heart this year as we began the year is the words of Jesus to his disciples, which is, go, preach the kingdom, and heal the sick. And if we're not doing those things, if we're not going, or as my pastor, we had a big banner in our sanctuary that said, go or send a substitute. That's what it said. That's what the banner said in our church. It said, go or send a substitute. In other words, if you weren't called to go, you would pray and pray for someone else to go. And that's what we're doing, aren't we? Because, again, Kingsley encouraged everybody. He said, listen, I want everybody to get a passport so that you are not limiting God to use you within the 48 contiguous states of America. And I believe that. But sometimes we don't have the wherewithal to do that. So as we're talking about going and preaching the kingdom of God and healing the sick, man, we're talking about getting in the game. Now, here's a trivial fact today. There will be 22 players on the field at one time during the game today. 22 players on the field playing the game. There will be 120 million people on the sidelines watching the game, either there in New York or on TV. So basically, for every one person that plays the game, there are 5,500,000 people who are going to be watching the game go. 5,500,000 for every one person that's on the field playing the game today. So here's our encouragement to us. We need to make sure we get in the game, that we're not just on the sidelines watching it. It's going to be entertaining today. Omaha, you got that? The sound booth knew that. Omaha is a, I was calling an audible for the sound booth, and they caught that. Omaha, be listening. Some of you are looking at me like, what are you talking about? Omaha is an audible that Peyton Manning will use today roughly 40 to 50 times during the game. When he gets under center, you'll hear him cry out, Omaha. And so anyway, that's just what that was. All right, Acts chapter 6. If you're there, say, I got it. Now, in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplying, there arose a complaint against the Hebrews by the Hellenists because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution. Then the 12 summoned the multitude of the disciples and said, it is not desirable that we should leave the word of God. But, therefore, brethren, seek out from among you 7 men... of good reputation and full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom that we may appoint over this business. Verse 7 is the result of these 7 men getting in the game. Then the word of God spread. Then the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem. Why? Because 7 men... average men decided, I'm going to get in the game. I'm going to answer the call. I'm going to be a part of what God is doing. The disciples were in the game, but they were trying to play too many positions. They were trying to be the quarterback and then get off the field and then go play defense. And they were wearing themselves out. And as a result, they started to become horrible quarterbacks, spiritually speaking. I said, listen, there's no reason for us to carry this heavy load when there's so many people, other men, other people who can help carry the load of the ministry. Let's hand the ball off to them and let them do something for God and see what God doesn't do. And so they anointed Stephen and Philip and Prochorus and Nicanor and Timon and Parmenas and Nicholas. These seven men. Now, we don't hear much about the other six guys, but they were in the same status as Stephen was. They were just men of good reputation and full of the Holy Spirit. So the question today for us, church, is, are we game watchers or are we game players? Are we satisfied to stay on the sideline and watch ministry happen and watch the kingdom of God go forward and advance in Wood County and all over the world? Are we going to be kingdom watchers or are we going to be kingdom players? And we get to choose to what level we want to be a part of the team. Knowing that every person on the team is important. There is no such thing in the kingdom of God as just a bench player, reserve role player. We're all playing a vital, important role. We know this, and Kingsley encouraged us in this. Romans chapter 12. We're all called. Everyone say it. We're all called. We're all called to be part of the game, part of the team. Read with me in Romans chapter 12. Therefore, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service, or which is your worship to Him. All you have to do is, to be a part of the team, is to present yourself. You have to make yourself available. Then he goes on and talks about, and if you're going to do this, you're not going to be conformed to this world, but you're going to allow your mind to be transformed, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Verse 3, for I say through the grace given me to everyone among you is not to think more highly of himself, but is to think soberly as God has dealt to each of you a measure of faith. See, we've each been given this measure of faith to get in the game and do something with it. I don't always feel totally confident in that which I'm to do, but I know that God has equipped me and given me a measure of enough faith that I need to do it. And you have been given enough faith, the measure of faith, to each. Does it say to some people? Does your Bible say to some has been given a measure of faith? To those who are outstandingly gifted, get a measure of faith? No. To everyone. I am preaching much better than you're amening today. Just joking. That's a horrible thing to say. He's given each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function. So we, being many, verse 5, are one body in Christ and individual members of one another, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given us. Now, this is important that we notice that you've been given gifts and you've been given grace. That's a powerful combination. Gifts and grace. Friday night, Kingsley sat down with the leadership and he asked them to identify, what are the gifts that you see operating in your life? Do you see as yourself as a person who is in, who likes to be in front of other people? Or do you see yourself as a behind-the-scenes type of person? What type of gifts? And really what he didn't realize is he was dealing with some of the things we talked about last year. Why is a hammer shaped like a hammer? Because a hammer is shaped like a hammer so that he can do hammer things. Hello. It's kind of duh. East Texas, duh. But that's why a hammer is shaped like a hammer. It can do hammer things. It can pull. Listen, I don't know about you, but last time I seen in the kitchen, I've never seen somebody use a hammer for a whisk. Hadn't happened. I'm sure there's some East Texan somewhere that tried some East Texas ingenuity and might have tried that. But a hammer is shaped for a hammer. A whisk is shaped for a whisk. And don't try to use the whisk as a hammer. And don't try to use the hammer as a whisk. Okay. Now that's in the natural. But God has shaped you with spiritual gifts, with passions, abilities, with your personality, and your life experience and spiritual experiences to shape you for your ministry that God has for you. Some people can't watch a commercial about certain things and they get all emotionally attached to it, whereas others of us go, pfft. Why? It's not my passion. I have no desire, no passion to be involved in that. But then something else someone brings up, and all of a sudden I get a little bit more passionate. And you're the same way. And because when you allow your passions and the drive that God has put within you and allow your shape to come out, you're going to get in the game. You're going to begin to make a difference. And again, according to the grace, everyone say grace. According to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. Get in the game and use them. If it's prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. If it's ministry, let us use it in our ministering. If it's teaching, in teaching. If you have the gift of exhortation, then use it. If whatever he gives you with liberality, he who leads with diligence, whoever shows mercy with cheerfulness. Again, whatever it is God has gifted and graced you to do in your life. Now, the first thing is we have to find out what it is we're gifted and graced in. Then once we figure that out, and you know what you're gifted and graced in, there's some of you that if Pastor Hartley knocked on your, I rang you up this week and said, hey, listen, any chance you interested in singing with us on the stage next week? The phone would drop. And I'm like, you'd be on the ground laughing so hard. Because you know that's not a gifting and gracing that God has given you to get up on the platform. I really need one of you to step up and help me. I need another drummer. Our drummer's down with his wife in San Antonio, bless God, this week. And so I made all types of phone calls yesterday. I bribed every drummer I knew. Come to the party. Come to my house afterwards. Bring a friend. I mean, anything I can do to try to get a drummer. I need drummers. I need the gifting and gracing of drumming and be able to keep a beat. And I realize they may be in our congregation already. Some of our kids have got that gifting ability, and we just got to train them in the ways. So here's what Paul is saying. We each present our bodies to the coach. Now, here's what Paul says as living sacrifices. I don't like that word, sacrifice. I don't like that word, living sacrifice. That does nothing. Nothing about living sacrifices pleases my flesh. But Lord, coach, Jesus, as a sacrifice, if necessary, because we've each been given a measure of faith, and we've each been given gifts and grace. Now, Paul mentions it in Romans chapter 12, not to think too highly of yourself. He mentions it again in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Let's look at it. Take a good look, friends, at who you were when you were called into the ministry, into the life of serving Jesus. I don't see many of the brightest and the best among you. Not many influential. Not many from high society families. Isn't it obvious that God deliberately chose men and women that the culture overlooks, exploits, and abuses, and chooses these nobodies to expose the hollow pretensions of somebodies? Isn't that good? That's out of the message. He doesn't take and look for those to get in the game. Now, these guys that are in the game today, they are some of the best athletes in the world. They can do amazing athletic feats, and they got an attitude to go along with it. And that's what makes it so enjoyable, because this guy on this DB from the Seahawks, he says, I dare Peyton to throw one pass my direction. I dare him to throw one pass my direction, because I'll treat him like the chump I treated 2 weeks ago. And he'll be like Kaepernick. You don't throw the ball to one. And so, yeah, these guys are gifted athletes. But how many of you know, for the kingdom of God, God is not near as interested in my abilities as he is my availability. Can I say that again? God is not interested in my abilities, but rather he's more interested in my availability. As a matter of fact, God doesn't call the qualified most times. He qualifies the called. And most of the time, God does not call the qualified. He qualifies the called. We need to understand that, because we start looking at ourselves and we think that we don't measure up enough for God to use us. But can I tell you what? He's just looking for your availability. Is there a vessel out there? Is there someone out there who will be like Isaiah and say, Lord, I'm a man of unclean lips. I don't have my act together at all. But Lord, here am I. Send me. I never forget one. It must have been one of the missionary conferences or sometime. We have a precious missionary getting up in his years. His name is David Tolman. And David's just a sweet, 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 precious man of God. And he doesn't live in Guanajuato or Zacatecas. He lives in Guadalajara. And he was visiting one of his churches one day, and the pastor came up and said, Brother David, I have a real need in my congregation. I need a worship leader. I mean, church is growing, everything's going great, but we just need a worship leader. How many of you know sometimes you can do so many services leading from cassette tapes, or back then it was cassette tapes, and they would put on the Integrity music, and they would just sing along with the Integrity music, and that was great. But they needed a worship leader, and so Brother David began to pray, and he said, well, next time I come to your church, we're just going to pray and believe God that God will show us. And so David showed up at the church a few weeks down the road, and he comes in the church, and they have the service, and Brother Tolman's just he's up on the stage, and he's praying, and the Lord points an individual out to him that he really feels, that's the man. And so after the service is over, he pulls the pastor aside and he said, well, listen, I really felt in the service that gentleman in the back of the church over there in a certain color outfit that he was wearing, I really feel him and see him. God has said he's the man. And the pastor looked at him and said, are you sure? He said, oh, yes, I'm very sure. The Lord has spoken in my heart, and he's confirmed it. He is the man. And he said, well, the man you just chose to be our worship leader is dumb. Cannot speak. You know what? Brother David told him, such a man of faith. He didn't quaver or quench one bit. He said, no, we're to pray for him. How many of you know? It's such a miracle. They brought the man forward. They laid their hands on him and anointed him as worship leader of the church. And the man began to sing. He had never sung a day in his life. He had never spoke a word a day in his life. God qualifies the called. And we look on the outside. Samuel goes to anoint a king for Israel. And he brings in all the sons. And he starts with the oldest one. The best looking, the biggest. And he goes all the way down, and the Lord said, no, 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 no. Samuel says, do you have another? Is there not another son? Well, yeah, we got a young kid out in the pasture playing with the sheep and likes to use his slingshot a lot. Right? Well, bring him here. They go fetch David. And as soon as Samuel and David come together, God qualified the called and poured his oil of anointing on David. Chosen nobody to confuse the somebodies. Hallelujah. Therefore, brethren, seek out among you seven men of good reputation. Think about it. If I'm really, I don't want just good reputation. I want a great rep. Give me somebody with a great reputation. Their reputation precedes them. But that's man thinking. That's the way man thinks. We want the best looking. We're looking at so many other things that God's not so concerned about when it comes to getting in the game and being part of ministry. How many of you know all it basically takes for us is to begin to have a desire to be used? Begin to have a desire to be used, and God is going to give you gifts, and more importantly, He's going to give you grace. Everyone say grace. Now, the Lord took me several years ago to the story of Noah. And when we read about Noah in Genesis chapter 6, notice what it says about him and what he did. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Noah found it. You know why he found it? He was looking for it. Hello? When you begin to go look for the things of God, when you begin to pursue and seek, here's the words of Jesus, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. When you go to diligently pursuing after it, Noah found grace because Noah was looking for grace. Noah needed salvation for his family and for himself. What is grace? It's unmerited, undeserved strength, undeserved giftings. Hell, you don't need grace when everything is just absolutely going your way. You don't need any grace at all for that type of a lifestyle. If God calls us into the kingdom and He says, all right, now for the rest of your days, you will be blessed. And everything you touch will turn to gold. And all your family's going to serve Him. And you're not going to have any difficulties. You're not going to have any. As a matter of fact, you're just going to have a life that is so pristine and so perfect. People are going to look at you and go, that's a child of God. Because they have the perfect home, the perfect family, the perfect children, the perfect job. They got everything. No, you don't need grace for that life. Here's when you need grace. Grace is when you're about to tackle something bigger than yourself, way bigger than yourself. Noah, got a little project for you. We got to pursue this thing, church. Paul, writing to Timothy, says, listen, flee the evil desires of youth and pursue. Pursue. Everyone say it with me. Pursue. Pursue. Righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. These are the people that are going to be game players. They're pursuing the kingdom of God. Why? Because the kingdom of God is not meat nor drink, but it's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Let's look at Brother Noah.
This is Noah. He's 500 years old. Not bad. He doesn't look a day over 350. One day, God told him it was going to rain. No, not rain. It was going to flood. No, I mean really flood. God told Noah he needed to build something that could rescue his entire family and two of every kind of animal on the earth.
Let me see a football field. Okay, the ark was 1.5 times as long as that football field.
You built that? Not bad. It took Noah and his three sons 100 years to build this boat. It's 450 feet long, 75 feet wide, and 45 feet high. That's almost 1.5 million cubic feet. That's the capacity of 522 railroad cars. In the 20s, the Ringling Brothers Circus traveled with their entire operation, which included 335 horses, 26 elephants, and 16 camels, and they traveled in only 92 railroad cars. What I'm trying to say is, that's a big boat. Can you imagine starting with this and trying to get to that? Is it possible that following God means that we pursue crazy big dreams that seem humanly impossible? That maybe you and I are called to do things that everybody else would think is crazy, things that when we begin, we can't imagine where they ultimately end. We don't have to complete the journey today, but we have to begin to take the first steps, to drive the first nail. We pick up the first board, step out on faith, and we begin to trust God for the rest.
Isn't that good? Isn't that good? Where do you start? First step. The first shovel, the first nail, the first board, that's where we start. We just begin to pursue it. I know what it's like to want to pursue something. For me, it was the pursuit of my wife. I met my wife, and as soon as I met Melissa, I said, there's something different about her. But the problem is my heart was scattered in pursuit of other young ladies also. And so as a result, when I began to pursue her and get really serious about it, I had to prove to her my desire and my purity in my heart that I really wanted to pursue just her. Because I told her, I finally got around telling her, I love you. She says, I don't believe you. Let me tell you what, it will become obvious to everyone when you begin to pursue the kingdom. And ultimately, how many of you know you cannot pursue the kingdom without pursuing the king? Amen? We're pursuing the king. And we begin to not be a game watcher, but we begin to be a game player. And we're real. We're not just pretending. There were those in Jesus' day who said, yeah, we're game players, we're kingdom walkers, we're kingdom talkers. And Jesus said in Matthew chapter 8, verse 12, but the sons of the kingdom will be cast out into utter darkness because they're just pretenders. They're not game players, they're just pretenders. Notice Jesus says the sons of the kingdom who've rejected, who have the natural right, they're the heirs to the kingdom. They're automatically on the team. Jesus says, I'm sorry, they'll be cast not just into to darkness, but they'll be cast into outer darkness where they'll be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Pretenders. They want to be players, but they're just pretenders. No, God is calling us today to be players with pure hearts, pure motives. Are we perfect? No, but God's qualifying us as we go. I don't think Moses, or Noah rather, when you talk about the feat of building an ark. And again, he didn't have all the Lord. Now, I believe the Lord helped him a little bit with the animals. I believe the Lord somehow caused these animals to begin to show up and help him out a little bit. Of course, how many years did we have to build this ark? Yeah, quite a few hundred years. So he maybe there was more animal gathering than we know about, and we just don't record it in Scripture. But how many know that the Lord didn't send, he didn't call 1-800 build an ark, and they dropped off at his site all the materials to build that mammoth boat. No, he had to go, and his sons, we got chores for you today. What? Matter of fact, I got some chores for you for the next several years. We got to cut down some wood if we're going to build this boat that the Lord is asking us to build. And can you imagine? Dad, you are losing it. It's going to do what? Rain? Yeah. Build it. Exactly. Everything about it made no sense. But yet when God calls us to do something, So many times for so many people, it will not make sense. It doesn't make sense that you're here this morning giving of your week and your time to start this week off in church. It made no sense that you came and gave you tithes and offerings to the kingdom and gave your money away and sowed in. None of it makes natural sense, but we're not talking about in the natural today, amen? We're talking about what we're doing in the spiritual. And here's the most important we need to understand. Jesus said these words, and I believe they apply to us today as we stand. You can turn those lights back on, Nick. They apply to us today. John chapter 9, verse 4, as we close out. John chapter 9. And all of us must quickly carry out the tasks assigned to us by the one who sent me. For there is little time left before the night falls and all works will come to an end. We're working against the clock, guys. It's the two-minute drill, if you will, that we're working on today. Because the signs of the times say it can't get a whole lot worse. It's going to get worse, but there's not much more that's going to get worse before the Lord's going to have to say, I need to get my people out of there. Now, we may go through some of that. I'm not so sure how much we're going to have to go through, but the bottom line is the time is short, and he needs everyone coming in and saying, Coach, put me in. I'm ready. Put me in. What do you have to give? Well, here's what I got to give. I have all my energy and life to give. That's enough. Get in, son. It's time for you to play. Every one of us, the Lord is calling today. Stand up with me if you would. Would you please go back to the first slide, Hazel, there in Acts chapter 6. Seven men. God tapped him on the shoulder and said, will you serve some tables? Would you serve some tables? Would you take care of some elderly ladies who are being cantankerous and complaining? As sometimes folks of that age can get. Will you answer the call to serve some tables and minister some old ladies? I doubt Stephen or any of those seven men had an idea, a clue what that was going to do to the entire church and to the entire area. Read verse 7 with me again. Then the word of God spread, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem. Wow! Seven guys getting in the game, answering the call to do some simple things, and it changed an entire community. Church, can you see with eyes of faith today what it means for us to get in the game? And just do what little thing God has called us to do. If you counsel, counsel with love and grace and passion. If you give, give liberally. If you teach, teach with the understanding. Oh, whatever it is God's called you to do. If it's a greeter, you're the best greeter there ever was. You put a smile on your face, and you just love people as they come through the doors. If you're called, bless you in the nursery today. They can hear me now. That's so wonderful. Thank you, those who worked on that project. If you're called to the nursery, you love on those kids. Like Jesus would love on him. Man, he's not asking anything extraordinary. He's not, he may, but I would think he's not asking you to build an ark. He might. Don't get me wrong. He may call you to do something like that. And if so, he'll grace. Noah found what? Grace. Because he was seeking it. Father, we thank you today for the word. Thank you for your faithfulness in our hearts. Lord, thank you today that each and every one of us is called to get to be a game player and not just a game watcher. What's the Holy Spirit been speaking to you during this message this morning? Is he calling you? You feel like maybe you've been a game watcher for a while, and now it's time for you to take a little step and walk a little deeper into the kingdom of God, into the river. Maybe you're at ankles deep right now and the Lord is saying, come on, it's time for you to take the next step. You need to go knee deep. Or you've been knee deep already, now it's time to go waist deep. Or for some of you, you've been waist deep and the Lord says, it's time to swim. It's time to swim. Father, we thank you this morning that the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. Father, we thank you this morning that you loved us, each and every one of us, so much and have a wonderful plan for our lives. And God, I thank you today on this Sunday that we can set our hearts to serve you, to love you with all we have, to seek first the kingdom of God and your righteousness, Lord, as you told us to do. Father, I thank you for these game players that are going to be world changers. Lord, every person who gets involved, Lord, and continues to serve, Father, I thank you, Lord, that they are world changers. Lord, it will be spoken of them as it was spoken in Acts. These are those that turn the world upside down simply because they're serving you with the way that you've shaped them and made them to serve. We love you so much today. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord shine his face upon you. And may you go forth this week with a passion to serve the King and the kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen.